to Accessagogy, a podcast about accessibility and pedagogy. I'm your host, Anne Gagne, and this podcast is recorded on land covered by the Upper Canada Treaties and within land protected by the Dish With One Spoon Wampum Agreement, which is a traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe peoples. Welcome to episode 54. Today's episode is inspired from conversations I've had in different groups and communities I'm a part of, as well as by watching academic associations that I used to be a part of implode. I have framed the overall topic for today as the importance of valuing lived experience, because we told you so is probably not a very welcoming way to frame a podcast episode. But basically, this episode is kind of about how disabled folk have told you, and many institutional and association use, so many things for so long, and how difficult it is to observe things crumbling when acknowledging lived experience guidance could have prevented these situations. I started thinking about this week and about how disabled folk are very much the canaries in the proverbial inclusive design coal mines. We let people know about barriers to participation and user design very often. Things like lack of microphones, excluding participation and engagement, no matter how much you think you can project your voice, or the need for captions that are accurate, especially if there's a lot of disciplinary jargon or lingo being used, or the absolute shaking my head thing I witnessed this week, which was the belief that somehow ASL interpretation is the same as captions. And well, no, very much no, and not everyone knows ASL. Just like not every deaf person can use captions instead of ASL. So a lot of this happens because someone decided to make a decision without actually checking with disability community or having anyone in proximity to the decision makers who identifies as having a disability. And the thing is that disabled folk are incredibly good at being prescient, at anticipating issues that are becoming exacerbated or will become exacerbated if not dealt with quickly. Disabled folk are also really good at discovering administrators or decision makers who are good at talking a good game, but when it comes to praxis, everything falls flat. I've seen this happen in so many academic associations with value statements that say all the words that they felt needed to be there: inclusion, accessibility, decolonization. But when you look at the setup for conferences or webinars, if there even are any webinars, there are gaps in what in 2026 should be the most basic of accessibility awareness. Things like accurate captions, supportive sensory spaces that are not shared with other equity needs, like a quiet room that doesn't also double as a lactation space. Disabled folk are told often that we just need to be patient, that change is coming. And this is a common refrain and also something that we speak about often within community, like just how long are we expected to wait? And this is an honest question that I'm asking folk who don't identify as disabled and who are tasked with decision making around accessibility and inclusion at events or part of associations. How long are we expected to wait for the change that is coming? And how much small change are we expected to accept, like ASL instead of CART, when you should have both, before we ask again, kindly, forcefully, often? These are not new questions. People like Margaret Price, Jay Dolmetsch, Fadi Shanuda have said this many times, and so many others have said this for years. Part of why this keeps happening is that now, even more than before, we're seeing a deep devaluing of lived experience. Disabled lived experience is not taken into account or even acknowledged as a possibility when decisions are made. And when disabled lived experience is acknowledged and change does come about in certain places, it's often because one person with more clout or power happened to say the same thing that many disabled folk have been saying for years, but it was in the right room to the right people. So how do we get disabled lived experience to be valued in our spaces? This is actually one of the answers to the question that I leave us with at the end of the podcast every time. How can I make my space more accessible today? You can make your spaces more accessible today by, one, advocating for disabled voices being included in conversations, especially conversations about event planning or reorganization structures or new curriculum changes or new resource acquisitions. Like Brenna Clark Gray has often said, procurement is a space that is very much a space that needs more inclusion. And I'll share something in the episode page that she has written with Anne-Marie Scott about procurement as well. So advocating in the spaces that you're in seems a pretty basic thing that you can do. What other things can you do to support a lived experience being valued? Well, the second thing you can do is to bring up how lived experience and user experience is very much in alignment with any goal of any product or service that you may be connected or responsible for. Be it a website, a digital tool, customer service, a cafe. If you're not thinking about how disabled folk are engaging with those spaces, virtual or physical, you're excluding users. This is how we end up with tables that can't be used by wheelchair users or websites that can't be used with screen readers. Aligning valuing disabled lived experience to any mission statement or goal that you may have in your spaces is important. In return on investment ROI number times, gosh, it's so hard to say acronyms like ROI with a straight face, even though I'm not straight. The more that you can make a case for why this is important and foundational and not an edge case situation, the more likely someone is going to do something about it. So you have advocated, you've aligned your argument to goals and missions. Well, what else? Well, three is a deep plea to foster empathy in the spaces and the interactions you are having. By reinforcing how lived experience awareness is one of the many ways that we can create a more empathetic society in micro and macro ways. The individualized nature of the world means that empathy is being lost for people, and people can't see how others' lived experiences, if not similar to theirs, still connect to the larger society and communities that we live in. But also for, and connected to this, is the need for the perpetual reminder that one person's lived experience is one person's lived experience. And if you have met one disabled person, you have met one disabled person. The one-and-doneness of the decision-making, the checklistification of accessibility and disability awareness, in turn creates even more barriers and lack of empathy. So if you're looking for me, I'll be here with my team We Are Not Robots t-shirt, and on the back it'll say, have you asked a disabled person about that yet? Because we know. We feel things, we anticipate things and needs. You are missing out by continually devaluing disabled lived experience for guesses and approximations at accessibility that then become a series of not quite frustrations. So that's it. That's episode 54 of Accessagogy, with a discussion of how to have disabled lived experience be more centered in the decision-making process in your spaces. Remember as well that I want this to be a space where you can ask questions and share concepts that you'd like me to discuss. So if there's anything that I mentioned here about how to better value the kinds of insight and input that disabled folk can be giving you and your associations and institutions, please ask. As always, if you have any ideas or aspects of your pedagogy that you'd like me to address in this podcast, please feel free to send me an email at accessagogy. That's accessagogy@gmail.com. I'll try to include as many of these suggestions as possible in the podcast, because ultimately this podcast is for you. So that's it. That's episode 54 of Accessagogy. Thanks so much for following along and asking, how can I make my space more accessible today? Have a good week.